Now, the rest of the story. Helen Franzoen stood there, her mouth agape, speechless. Helen had been visiting her brother, a patient, at the Air Force Convalescent Center in Pawling, New York. This was during World War II. Helen had visited regularly, but this time she was leading through the hospital's rehab center, and this was where wounded men were retrained to use their hands, woodworking, leather tooling, sculpting, other crafts. And suddenly her eyes were drawn to this lean young man who was demonstrating how to shape wet clay into lifelike figures. How handsome he was, how sensitive his eyes, and his hands were moving with the precision of a surgeon or a musician. When Helen could speak, she said, "You are an artist." In a soft country voice, he said, "No, ma'am, I'm just a farmer. I'm in the animal husbandry division of the Air Force, sort of a veterinarian. I just come here during my time off to help these fellows make things out of clay." And as he spoke, he was molding with his hands a magnificent Percheron mare and foal. Helen was speechless again. Her next visit to the hospital, Helen wore the prettiest dress she had, a flower-patterned skirt with organdy blouse, high ruffled collar. Helen was 24, Ed was 30. Mama went along on all of their dates. 3 months later, they were married. Hers had been a sheltered life. Ed was from an orphanage. But what he had missed in early human companionship had been replaced by an immense love and respect for animals and birds, and gradually he had learned to reproduce them, to sculpt in clay the various figures of the farm animals, first at the orphanage, and then when he was grown on his own farm. Inevitably, his love for these creatures he imparted to his Brooklyn-born bride. She learned to appreciate the magic of a hummingbird and the intelligence of a warbler. She learned to admire pheasants and understand sheepdogs, and she learned about fish and flowers. But Ed could imitate their sounds and heal their hurts, and he would bring home strays until their home became a miniature zoo. And Ed would sculpt and make clay models of the dogs and cats and horses and fowl and birds and cattle. Well, here I'm going to have to skip over the intervening years of hard work and the borrowed $500 which permitted Ed's sculpture to be reproduced for the very first time ever in porcelain. But today there are porcelain sculptures bearing his name in every major art gallery in the world. Ed made his singular art craft wantable. But it was enterprising Helen who made him and it wanted worldwide. And what a team they were. Multiple reproduction, if in limited editions, has brought the delicate, graceful sculpture of Ed Beam into our department stores and into our homes. Commemorative Beam sculptures are in castles and palaces and the Vatican and the White House. And all because once upon a time, back during World War II, a girl from Brooklyn went to visit her brother in a veterans hospital. And there she found, sitting cross-legged on the floor, with his hands full of wet clay, one of the most gifted artisans of our century. Ed Beam is dead now, but his beloved, beautiful, recreated creatures live forever. This is the rest of the story.